Well, you just heard it. God's disciples, Jesus' followers, were out there in a desolate, lonely place, and they were struggling. They were wrestling. They were wrestling with a question. What responsibility did they have to feed this huge crowd? Was it their problem? The little bit of food on hand, 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, to be precise, were probably intended to be the meal for Jesus and his disciples. No matter how creatively they brainstormed, there was no natural way for them to make this food stretch for that many people. So the disciples thought the best thing to do is send the people away so they could find their meals in the surrounding villages. Matthew is careful to tell us that people had come from the towns following Jesus on foot to this deserted place. And rather than be annoyed, Jesus felt compassion for them and proceeded to heal their sick. And while the focus of this account seems to shift from the healing to the feeding, the fact is that the activities are similar in the sense that they're meeting all the needs of the people who are gathered around Christ. Now, it should sound kind of familiar to us today, since this remains the essential call of the church to meet physical and spiritual needs of those sent to us by God's command. Now, clearly, from what we know about Jesus, could have just conjured up the food for the multitude without going through any of the work of distributing it, taking the loaves and the fishes out to people to feed over 5,000 people, well over 5,000. It's just 5,000 men, not including women and children in the count. Well, that would have taken some time and effort, wouldn't it? It would have been much easier, we might imagine, for Jesus to just say a few words, have the food drop right out of heaven onto everyone's lap, problem solved. But you see, there's much more to this story than filling empty stomachs. Again, Matthew tells us that Jesus took the bread, looked up to heaven, blessed it, and broke the loaves, and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowd. And you note who's doing the distribution? It's the disciples. It's the students. In that act, they are participants in the miracle being recorded, adding a very personal human dimension to this event. It demonstrates, do you see, this story shows us that each one of us can be used by God to perform the miracle of sharing the gifts. Sharing the gifts that He gives us. Doesn't this resonate with you, the way the story unfolds? The disciples only see the difficulty. While the disciples only saw the difficulty in this situation, hungry people, Jesus was able to see the opportunity. The opportunity to show God's glory. And I really want that idea to sink in with you today, so much so I'm just going to repeat it. While the disciples saw only the difficulty in the situation, Jesus was able to see the opportunity to give God glory. Some of you may know, some may not. I just got back from our church body's national convention. And I can tell you, this principle was was front and center in many of our discussions. Disciples saw the difficulty, Jesus saw the opportunity. That's true at the national level, the synodical level, synod meaning, by the way, walking together. Our church is walking together in what we believe. It's true at that level. It's also true at the local congregational level, just as much. In our humanity, we tend to focus on the difficulties. We're great at identifying the problems. But always, 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 Jesus sees opportunity. Opportunity to demonstrate God's glory through a problem, because of a problem. The problem opens the way to the opportunity. And I think that's the real lesson embedded in this text. Not just, wow, Jesus could do miracles. Isn't that something? But rather, wherever Jesus is, he's working in the midst of difficulties to generate and distribute his gifts. Gifts that are needed for life. And here's the key. He involves his people in making sure those gifts are given out, handed out, given away to whoever needs and wants them. Now, when you stop to think about it, that describes Jesus' full work, doesn't it? In the midst of the greatest struggle he ever faced, Jesus at the cross, terrible thing, paid for us, paid for our sin, paid for our stinginess, paid for our self-centeredness, and made it possible for gifts of forgiveness and new life to be given away. And those who receive these gifts become those who give them. Isn't that something? Jesus gave the disciples. If you've read the Gospels, you know what the disciples were like, how often they got it right or not. He gave them the opportunity to be ministers of miracles. That's what his church is still here doing. I don't have to tell you, life is full of difficult situations. And sometimes people come to us and it might seem simpler, certainly easier, to send them away to find their own sustenance. You know, like the disciples thought, all these people, send them to the other town to get supper. Not my problem. Remember what Jesus said? You give them something to eat. The words of Jesus need to be our call to action. And what I mean by that is expressed this way. You don't need a degree in theology to explain God's love to somebody. You don't have to be ordained to have compassion on a stranger or give them what they need. What you do need is to have faith in Jesus and a willingness to be used by him. It doesn't require any special commission, doesn't require any special anointing. You've received both in your baptism. That means you, yes, you, are fully equipped to do God's work right now. In his sermon on this very gospel passage, a really ancient pastor by the name of John Chrysostom pointed out that it was through his disciples that Jesus performed this miraculous feeding, and the miracle continued even after the multitude had gotten their bellies full. For when the people were finished eating, the disciples were able to collect 12 baskets of leftovers. Now that would include, if each one took a basket, even Judas Iscariot participated in this miracle. But the point is this. When you share the gifts of Jesus, do you really think you're going to run out? The miracles of God never come up short when you step out in faith. Through their obedience to the Master's command, you give them something to eat. 12 followers of Jesus fed thousands. Don't ever get caught in the devil's trap of believing that you are unable or that somehow you are unworthy of spreading God's blessings in this world. Whatever it is you have, whatever your 5 loaves are, whatever your 2 fish are, whether that's money or time or talent or knowledge, it's more than enough to meet the needs of others when you use them for God's kingdom. The only thing you need to have is a willingness to look at your neighbor in compassion and offer what you have. He multiplies it. The words of Jesus can serve as our guiding principle. They really can. You give them something to eat. Whether it's bread of wheat, the bread of life, we are responsible for feeding the people God sends to us by stepping out in faith and in love. We'll see the miraculous bounty God has planned and His ability to multiply the resources. He sees the opportunity. Let's follow Him. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before You today so thankful for the blessings You pour out on us day after day. And we know that You pour them out on us so that we have something to pour out on others. May our response to You be a response of love and generosity. May we take Your words to heart. You give them something to eat, knowing and trusting that what we give them is not ours. It's Yours. And You will provide the increase, You will provide the multiplication, You will bless it in the way that You know is best. We pray this in the powerful name of Jesus, our Lord. Amen.